Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero, along with
Stitch Ram, who welcomes our new robot Brock Overlord.
Pretty much, yeah, I do as well. So anyway, yes, tonight we are doing SummerSlam because, yeah, we're late. But it's okay. Because
it's
you can
fault.
Listen to us in the future. It's okay.
I'm raising
it's
my hand,
fault.
But you can't see
no,
me.
No, it's fine. It's Canada's fault, but it's okay. Because you can listen to us for free.
Yes.
No. Yeah.
$0.99. $0.00. And we'll talk about things that you care about. Not even just wrestling, but Gravity Falls.
And life. And Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. And comics.
And sex.
And life. Yeah. I mean. So anyway. So this SummerSlam, it was. It's weird because it was really good. Like, I don't think we can deny it being really good. The problem, though, is that things happen, and it clouds people's perception and their judgment on the pay-per-view. So some people, because of the last match, you know, and maybe some stuff sprinkled in between, they're going to sit there and they're going to think, best pay-per-view ever, A+. And it wasn't really.
No, it was.
I mean...
It was.
No. A.
I have waited days. Weeks, months, years to see John Cena get his ass handed to him like that. That was glorious.
I know, fair enough.
That
but
was
I'm
glorious.
Trying to...
I mean glory. Like, glorious as in, like, religiously glorious. To the point where, like, if I'm starting to believe in a god, it's Paul Heyman and by, like, you know, extension, his son/disciple, Brock Lesnar.
Don't give Paul any ideas. All right, don't let him work this into a promo. Don't let some WWE employee or possibly WWE, what is it, an intern, listen to this podcast and give him any ideas. Just don't do it. But it's okay.
It could work. He doesn't need ideas from me. He's a god.
No, he really doesn't. Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad pay-per-view. I'm just saying that they see that and they forget about the slight sexism and some of the other superstars who didn't really get their day, who possibly, I mean, of course Brock Lesnar deserved to beat the shit out of John Cena, but that doesn't mean that someone like Cesaro didn't, you know?
Well,
and
that's still pretty stupid. Not what you said, but like the fact that for some reason they don't know what to do with Antonio fucking Cesaro. I mean, that's really, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. We're going to start off with the first match. Yeah. RVD versus
Before we throw into it, I just want to put something out there. Our call-in number, as always, is 718-664-9468.
I was actually going to mention that.
Yeah, just throwing that out there. So 718-664-9468. And a quick tip for those of you calling in. If you can't, for some reason, get to the computer to listen to us or something of the other means, you can call our guest call-in number, the same 718-664-9468, to listen into us. And if you have something you'd like to say or you'd like to talk to us, press 1 right before you hear us. It'll ask you if you'd like to speak with the host. Press 1. And I'll get a little notification here saying that, hey, you want to speak to us and you don't want to just call in. And the reason I'm just throwing that out there is because I know we've got a few listeners that are going to be calling in just to listen tonight. Thank you very much for that. And I just don't want to put them on air when they're sitting there like, why did you put me on air? I don't want to speak to you. Go away. So, you know, if you do want to say something, you know, please just give me the little notification. I'll see it. I'll make a joke in your direction and we'll be fine.
Exactly. So, and thank you for bringing that up. I was about to bring it up right before the match because, of course, the people want to call in and talk about the matches. The problem with RVD and Cesaro, well, there's a good and a bad. The good is, and there is a good, they actually wanted to give Cesaro something to do instead of leaving him off of the card. The problem is that even though this is a pre-show match, It's also a completely cold match. Like, we've actually had pre-show matches recently that have had story. How crazy is that?
Yeah, and it's weird because usually I don't complain because I know there's a logic to, like, hey, if they're on the pre-show, it's not as important. No, they're making it onto pay-per-view, which is pretty cool. You know?
Yeah. No, it's different than it was back in the day with a dark match where I would argue
right.
that, it's
dark
not...
Dark matches are different.
Important.
Yeah, like, if you're a dark match on a pay-per-view
be.
Beforehand,
yeah.
right, before, like,
yeah.
even at WrestleMania, you'd have a dark match. You'd be like, wow, mm-hmm. we made it to WrestleMania. No, it's a dark match. It kind of sucks. You know, I mean, a couple of years
yeah.
ago, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan was the dark match at WrestleMania. Wow, right?
So weird, right.
Yeah.
So,
liking this pre-show thing. I've already said, it's good. You know, televise some more stuff. When you wade through the crappy, like, you know, analysis that we usually get at the top of the hour.
Yeah,
but,
now, so the good thing is, again, he's on the card,
right?
Right. The bad thing is, yeah, he not only had nothing to do with it, where it's just, yeah, just throw him with RVD. He had to make RVD look good.
Right.
He had to actually, here's the thing, everyone, that's okay, it's okay for someone to make the legend, you know, the returning guy, look good so that when he loses in the future, he doesn't look like a chump that keeps on losing to random people. The problem is that there's so many other people you could have used for that. You know, use Damian Sandow again as a different character or something. Don't use a guy who could actually be your... If he became WWE World Heavyweight Champion that night, right? If, like, Lesnar tripped and fell and he hurt his knee, something. We have to put someone in there. They put him in. I personally, with the way he looks and the way he wrestles and the way he acts, and he owns that ring. So I wouldn't consider that to be that far off. And that's your issue. Don't use that guy to job, you know, to basically make someone else look better.
Yeah, in no dimension should Cesaro be jobbing out unless it's the dimension where jobbers are like king of the world.
Exactly.
You know,
he's
really talented.
Yeah, and the problem is it's been happening a bit too much recently. You know, and that's the thing, too. It's not like this is just a one-off thing. This is basically, it's been a pattern. You know, it's been Swagger twice. It's been, I believe, even three times. No, twice, sorry. It's been RVD. It's been John Cena, which I will say, with all three of these, you know, opponents, it's not that he's looked bad. It's just that he doesn't, you know, sometimes he's even looked good. But with RVD, that's when it gets a little hard. Because Swagger, he's getting this push, he's American, all right, and he's a face. John Cena, face, really, you know, he's Superman, okay. Rob Van Dam, you know, we're kind of getting to a point where it's just, all right, like, what, he's going to lose to Jericho too? Nothing wrong with Jericho. But again, we don't need returning guys just beating up someone like Cesaro, you know, because eventually it's just, so then why is Cesaro good again? And that's wrong, because he can do so much in the ring. And we saw it in this match. He did a lot.
Yeah, it really irks me that they went from basically having the WWE Universe eating out of their hands with Cesaro, where he was a heel, and they all just wanted him to turn face because of his moveset, his look. He's just a likable human being, alongside with the fact that he's really good at his job. And so everybody was sitting there like, all right, Cesaro's going to have face turn. We're all going to get really behind him. And it just never happened. And they just let the heat simmer off. And so then they tried to force him as a heel, which nobody really wanted to see because by forcing him as a heel, they basically removed the swing from his arsenal, which was a big thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone was really behind that, and it was a show of strength. Along with some of the other cool stuff he does in the ring, like the second rope suplex from the apron and his overall uppercut. You know, his moveset's very versatile. And it really irks me because the only thing I'd hold against him is that I don't really like him on the microphone that much.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
You have a guy who has the look, has the talent, has the stamina, the power. I mean, he really fits, at the very least, you know, back in the non-unified days, as like a bona fide world heavyweight champion and a guy that will eventually progress into being a multi-time WWE champion. And
what's amazing, though, what's amazing, though, is I feel like he's a guy who could be a five-time, six-time world heavyweight champion and make it mean something, not make you think, oh, well, sadly, he never got the WWE title. No, this is a guy who's a five-time world heavyweight, a bit like how Triple H, well, of course he has WWE title runs, still, he made the world heavyweight championship matter. you know,
yeah,
or look good on him.
It's hard for me to think, you know, I can't buy the fact that Cesaro is losing as often as he is. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And so they dropped him from Heyman, and it was such a weird mix of what's going on where they even brought him back to life a bit where he came out to defend Heyman and had a solid match with Cena on Raw to lead it off. And I sat there thinking, cool, they brought him out of the grave that they buried, you know, him in. And now we could actually do something with him again. And it's like, they just forget. I really don't, and it really frustrates me. I mean, I don't know. No, it wasn't enough for me to sit there and think, man, SummerSlam was bad, you know, especially because it was the pre-show, and this isn't the first time they've done this, which sucks, but it also shows that, like, I kind of expected it, because
no,
they have no idea what the hell they're doing with Cesaro now.
No. Yeah, no, it's not bad. It's just the problem is that certain people try to say, like, it's as if, okay, right, there's people that, and let's just pretend, like, Vince McMahon or someone from the WWE who would actually listen to them and nod with what they're saying would stand there, and then they would say, SummerSlam was perfect, change nothing. You know what I mean? It's like, hold on there, partner. You know?
Oh, Cesaro's last, according to Maddie, who's, you know, sending me her random facts. I didn't even ask her for this one. This is cute. Proactiveness.
Thank you, fact checker.
Just
Maddie.
As a fun fact, Antonio's last win was on July 21st against Dean by DQ, and his last pinfall victory was June 10th, which is about 2 months ago now. And
let me guess,
this was the guy. No, Sheamus. But this was the guy who he had. I mean, if they pushed him, even like a minor push, like you look at what they're doing with Roman Reigns or Forgot, which still makes me choke. I know he did okay at SummerSlam, but Rusev. Why? You know, everything was there for Cesaro. All you had to do was just give him a little nudge. You didn't even need to give him the Reigns-ass push. You know, you don't even need to give him anything that Rusev is getting either. Just give him a nudge in the right direction. Nothing. And I hate that because he's still here and he's still young and viable and he has the history of being an awesome guy in Ring of Honor as Claudio Castagnoli with a moveset that's been watered down and he's still very entertaining. So,
which speaking of, by the way, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to bring this up since you brought up Ring of Honor. There is a Ring of Honor network that resembles
really
the WWE network.
Really good, according to you.
I still haven't purchased it, but what's interesting is if you want to get the free version, you get the Ring of Honor latest episode for a full week. It airs on Monday. You don't get it on Monday. You get it on Thursday, right? You get it from Thursday to Thursday. And all of the iPay-per-views, you're getting it for free. Then you can be, you know, have the cash to spend money on all the iPay-per-views whenever it gets up to the point where you think, oh, yeah, they're promoting their newest pay-per-view. I'll buy it for $15 on the Internet. Or you can get their it's either $8 a month or $60 a year, right? And if you get that version, you get, of course, the weekly Ring of Honor, but you get it on Mondays if you want to watch. You get all of the backlog that they've ever done, up until, even pay-per-views up until 2013. You don't get 2013, 2014. But what's amazing is if you're into the old product and you want to see all the old stuff, you pay them either $8 to try it out for the month, $60 for the whole year, and then you get all their backlog. You know, sadly, yeah, the iPay-per-views, the newer ones don't come with that. But again, you can either be a fan and have it for free and then get the iPay-per-views or just really, you know, focus on the older stuff, like with Cesaro and, you know, Seth Rollins when he was Tyler Black and Daniel Bryan when he was the, Bryan Danielson? Very clever.
Yep.
And, yeah, you can get a lot of, you know, people's older matches that have made it to WWE or will be coming, like Kevin Steen and stuff like that. Very interesting. So, yeah, so we're not only promoting the WWE Network for $9.99, but go get the Ring of Honor Network for $7.99?
You'll promote, like, anything, won't you?
You know, the thing about these socks, right, is that, you know, when I wear them, they're on my feet, so get Hayden's socks.
I'm serious. Don't promote anything.
That's why we so desperately
talk about, like, the promotions when we talk, you know, our email, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com is open for any promotional offers. Matt will promote anything. And as much as I'm making a joke out of him promoting his socks, this is a serious thing where, like, if you're, like, an independent tattoo artist, musician, you know, artist as in, like, drawer person as well, you know, anything that you do that you'd like us to promote, work something out with us. We'd be glad to, you know, let you sponsor some of our segments or just get a word in for us, call in, talk with us. It would also really help us out because, hey, we can build a network as we're talking about networks. And the same network that may have crashed on us multiple times while watching SummerSlam is a network that we pay for, $9.99.
My thumb is currently up and there's a grin on my face. Also, I sadly saw the network late, so it did not crash on me, but I've heard things. Also, another interesting thing that I
heard,
it
wasn't that bad.
Rumors. I know we're not doing rumors, but I want to mention something to some people out there who might be complaining. Well, two things. First off, remember that if you have a different hardware for your PS3, like an older one, that might actually be an issue. Because sadly, you know, with all the cool things that the network does, it works better on newer firmware.
Yeah.
Or hardware. I don't know lingo. The point is that if your PS3 is newer, it'll work better than on an older one. So that might actually be an issue. So I hate to say this, but it's not WWE's fault, in my opinion anyway. Two, you may forget that people in your house might be using Netflix, internet, might be getting things they shouldn't be getting and using all your bandwidth. So remember to punch those people before using the network, because you are loading like basically a 3-hour live YouTube video. 3.5, counting the people.
3, to be fair, although Matt promotes the crap out of the WWE Network,
yes.
You know, it sucks ass on the PS3. So when Matt makes excuses for it, don't take them seriously, because it really is bad on the PS3.
Well, no,
I want you all to remember that.
Because
the search function
is
the worst thing on the planet.
I didn't make an excuse about that. That's true.
Yeah, because apparently, and I don't know if anyone's heard this, but if you want to check this out on the PS3, a lot of the matches all happened on January 31st, 1969. A lot of these matches.
Oh, is that new?
In fact,
well, apparently that's a new glitch?
Yeah, apparently searching up CM Punk will give me a lot of great CM Punk classics from 1969.
Well, if you remember, he once came out with John Cena with a Tommy Gun.
In 1969.
Yep, that's when it happened, because that's where
Cena
is
from. And moving on from
1969,
I'll give you something that should have happened maybe 40 years ago. Dolph Ziggler winning things.
Not just things, because Dolph can win something on a given night if the full moon is out and it's, you know, blue. But Dolph won a title. Now, that is that's where I sit back and I go, honestly, I have to be honest with you. Well, obviously, we're not doing Raw right now, but I was nervous he was going to lose it the next day.
I was too.
If you,
I was very scared.
I was really nervous. Thankfully, he did not lose it the next day. He hasn't lost it yet, I imagine. I assume he didn't lose it on Main Event. I assume he didn't lose it on SmackDown. I assume they're trying to build up Miz Ziggler, too. And that's nice. You know, good for that. Because I was worried that they were going to blow off a huge storyline. But no, they had a nice storyline going into this Main Event. And, you know, going into this pay-per-view. And, yeah, they beat each other up. And Ziggler managed to win somehow.
Yeah, first of three titles to change hands on Sunday night. The first time, apparently, that's ever happened at SummerSlam, where every title has switched hands that was defended on the card. Note that, you know, the U.S. Championship and the Tag Team Championships were not defended.
Yes, which the Tag Team Championships, I understand completely, because if you remember, they did give them a chance on Main Event to do it, just saying, hey, you know what, sadly we don't have the room because other matches are going to be shortened. So
Sheamus wasn't on the card at all, was he?
Sheamus, here's the issue with Sheamus. As we've heard in the back, they don't know how to use him right now, which sounds even sillier, because the thing is, you know, they don't know how to use him. So he hasn't been on TV. I assume he's actually been doing other things like movies or something crazy that they don't want to admit, like Sheamus was, you know, sick or something. You know, because apparently there's this huge, Vince has this huge hate against sickness. Like if you sneeze in Vince's presence, he'll be pissed at you. Like, I mean, furious. So, because he does not like to get sick, he's a workaholic. Meaning that there's a chance that if they heard, oh yeah, Sheamus is sick. No, he's not. What do you mean, sir? Nope, just, what do we say about Sheamus on television? Nothing. No one cares. No one cares about the U.S. title. Just go. No.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, I'm okay with, like, guys just... Okay, I'm not okay with a new nation disappearing off TV. But I am okay with guys disappearing off TV every now and then for whatever reasons they may be. You know, I get it. Because, hey, we've got a large roster. We basically got one main show per week. And so it's okay if everybody's not there every single week, unless they're in a major storyline. That being said, when you give a guy a title...
Yeah.
That matters more naturally now, not because of your own doing, because you've screwed that up, WWE, but because of the fact that there is only one major title and there's two mid-card titles that are supposed to be elevated from this.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people to just not put him on the card? And I get, like, oh, well, there wasn't really space. There was space for Rob Van Dam versus Cesaro.
That's what I'm saying. You could have easily just done something silly. You could have done Triple Threat, you know, although they wouldn't have done that because apparently Sheamus and RVD are tag team partners now. But you could have swapped out RVD for Sheamus, honestly. And if Sheamus would have beaten Cesaro, it still would have been a decent match. If Cesaro would have won, that would have been nuts.
The roof would have blown off the place because Cesaro would have got something.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's certain things. And what's great is that if you want to get Swagger out of a program with Rusev, right? Yeah, he lost that thing with Rusev, sadly. We'll get to that later, but he did. You could easily have him fight Cesaro and go, wait a minute, you are a terrible person, and you are trying to say you are from American. That's not right. We will fight, you know?
You are from American.
We will fight. Fight! You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, they could have done something with that, but no. We're apparently getting another. We're just getting everything again, just because for some. Because they're sitting there thinking, oh well, everyone already, you know, that's the problem. Everyone is trying. They're trying to make people just, you know, wow over like certain things, and then trying to wash away any other little thing that we can be nervous about. Because hey, you know, Brock Lesnar, man. It's like, no.
Yeah, and what really pisses me off, too, is that SummerSlam is a big event, one of the big four, so you like to defend as many of the titles as possible, right? Even
right.
If there is some kind of magical excuse that you can tell me of as to why Sheamus wasn't on the card, right? You know
right.
What our tag team champions were? They were Lumberjacks.
Hey, again,
our
remember,
tag team champions are so important.
Listen, I told you, they already gave them a shot, and I'm okay with that. If they didn't have a shot leading into SummerSlam, I would have been upset. But they actually got a shot saying, hey, look, there's not enough room. Again, they probably wanted their idea is, oh, Cesaro's on the card. He's going to get a rub from being on the card. And it's just not RVD. You know, anyone else, not RVD. How do you
right,
want
but on
to
top of that, the freaking tag, like, they should matter. The titles should matter. I know I sound like a broken record or somebody's like an old school, like, get off my lawn,
no,
titles matter.
The
but they
no,
do.
No, they do. No, they
and
do.
It's a unified freaking title. We used to have two of them. That was cool.
I'm sorry. I'm not with you on the tag thing. I am super with you on the United States Championship because that could have been a throwaway match, damn it. But it's still a fucking title. Here's the thing, too, by the way. It's summer. For me, I don't know. I feel like this, in a way, is replacing Great American Bash. You know, it's absorbed it and it's taken its powers. We should have the United States Championship, you know? Like,
the Great American Bash, where Russia stood tall.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we really should have had a USA match that wasn't.
How do I say
just
the Great American Bash in Russian? Is it like Russian party? What can I have the glorious Russian get together? Would that be it? I don't know. What would that could be
I
the
would,
parallel?
I would say
the Great
yeah,
American
I would
Bash
say
turns into the glorious Russian get together. For a
and
guy
there,
who I don't
Jack
think is even Russian.
Wins. And there, Jack Swagger wins. Point
Rusev
being
is Bulgarian, which is
well, no, he's the Bulgarian brute that thankfully relocated to Russia because he thought, you know what? I like this place.
It might have been Lana. They are actually
yeah.
dating.
Yes, in real life they are. But anyway, so getting away from our crazy rants that probably are throwing away everyone, seriously, though, it's just, you know, I'm sorry, I don't understand the tag team thing, but because they gave him a shot, Sheamus hasn't been on TV for like a month, and when he was in a tag team with RVD on Main Event, and he just had the title around his waist. Didn't even talk about it. You know?
Because it's
I'm
not
sorry,
important to them, apparently.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's more of a travesty than the tag team champs, because at least they were featured on the card.
They were lumberjacks.
Here's the thing. If they were better lumberjacks, I'd at least say that. But they weren't even good lumberjacks, so I'll give you that much. But
yeah, that's whatever. Dolph won. That was a good thing.
That was actually something that made my night. They could have ended the pay-per-view right there. And said,
I was surprised. No, I'm not going to lie to you. Because I hope for it, and I always hope Dolph's going to win things.
Yes.
But, like, it actually happened in front of me, and I was like, wow. Dolph actually just won something. That feels good.
I watched that Monday at 7 in the morning, and I thought about it, and I said, honestly, I'm probably going to go to bed now and wake up and see if that actually happened. I thought I was really tired. I thought I was like, no, I'm probably too tired. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, no, that happened to me. When Seth Rollins cashed in his Money in the Bank, I thought, man, this is too much. I was too tired. I was too tired. Seth Rollins didn't cash in his Money in the Bank. Actually swerved myself. Kind of sucked.
Wait, really? Because he did.
Did he?
Yes.
Is Seth Rollins the new Brock Lesnar?
I like my little way of just telling everyone, yep, Hulk Hogan came out. Just Hulk Hogan came out. Dean Ambrose was able to put Seth Rollins into a tutu. And Cesaro is our new champion. That's how I remember that night. Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
No, but seriously, yes, I will say it over and over and over because we have to. Dolph Ziggler won something. I'm sorry if you're not a fan, but if you are, you understand. Maybe if you're not a fan, come on, you have to see what they've been doing to Dolph for a while. You know, when he came out on Monday, not to joke ahead, but still to say this whole thing, when he came out on Monday and said, I want to thank you guys, I want to thank the fans, he meant it. You know, I mean, without us, I hate to say that because usually it doesn't mean anything because they can do whatever they want to. But really, if we didn't yell loud enough, I don't think they would have done this right. You know, or at least it would have not motivated him to shut his mouth and think, all right, but, you know, let me not say certain things. Let me, you know, like, watch my behavior, if you will, and maybe they'll give me another shot. And they did.
Which is great because he deserves it, and we feel for him.
So my question to you is, how did you feel about Paige versus AJ?
So this is weird because building up to the event, I was okay with the Paige antics because, as I've stated to you, on air and off air, I thought it was part of what they were doing with her character. Not that she was crazy, but that she was trying to get in AJ's head and just taunting her like a good heel, you know? And I was down with that, and it made me happy because they had departed so far from Paige's NXT character, which was perfect already, that I was okay with this, like, salvaging attempt, I thought, in terms of her character, and I was pleased with it. And of course,
right.
I know that a lot of people won't agree with me, but I love Paige to death, and beating AJ was a good thing for me. You know, I was pleased because it kind of extends their little interactions.
Right.
And I
agreed with you at first. I assumed that, you know, I thought for a second that that's what they were doing, but then after seeing a lot of SmackDown, I disagreed. I thought that they were actually trying to make her crazy as if to say, oh, look, it's two crazy chicks versus
right.
each other. Right. And
which is the problem.
The fact that, and even your version I didn't like because not only is it a depart from the Paige character, but it, in no way does it make her look more refined or any better than she once was. It's a real step down, which makes it seem as if we need to have her messing with Paige and being what, you know, like something that, you know, a really bad, not even a bad person, a bad woman, because quote unquote, that's what a woman would do, you know, where it's just, it felt weird. You know, it felt like something, I don't know, right? It just felt awkward and strange, and I didn't like it. And now, right, we get to the end of this pay-per-view, or the end of this match, rather, and Paige won. Which, again, but describe what happened, Mr. Ram.
Yeah, the match ending, as much as I am really fond of Paige and pretty much most things that she does, I am not really down with the Rampage finishing move. I'm sorry, the Paige Turner. Because it's in theory, a really cool maneuver. It doesn't always look that good.
No, it looks good on with AJ, though, because she ends up landing on her neck, and it looks like it sometimes, and it looks like it hurts a lot. The Rampage is a bit of an issue for me because it looks like a DDT sometimes.
It's weird because I like the Rampage more than I like the Paige Turner.
Right.
But, I get, and you know, the finish was just a little bit clunky for me because I don't know if it's maybe because of AJ's size and the way that it was done.
Right.
But, it was just a little bit weird. And that's not to say the match wasn't good for me, because apparently, unofficially on Wikipedia, they got 4 minutes and 57 seconds, which is bullshit.
I don't believe that.
I'm really
going to
stress
that.
That's an unofficial time. But if that's true, I don't know, because I think they did the best with what they had. And if so, they really found some chemistry for this match.
Yeah.
They did.
It may have just been the fact that I was, again, I didn't go to bed. after Ziggler-Miz. I saw Paige AJ because I thought, you know what, good match, why not? And maybe, I don't know, for some reason it did not feel, and they had great spots. I think the problem is that they did things better than other divas usually do, other women usually do on the card. So even if it was a short match, it didn't feel that way to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is, I think it's a taste of what we could actually see from them if they were given the time to work, because now they've got a little bit more chemistry together. Yeah, and I'm not asking for 15 minutes right now. I mean, yeah, I would at some point down the line because I know that they're good enough to come close to a co-main event or main eventing a show. But
right. You
give them 10 minutes, I mean, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, Stephen Bree got 10 minutes, unofficially.
Yes, unofficially, yeah.
You know, so, Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho unofficially got about 13. So
yeah. It
just... it's weird for me because I just want them to have more time. That's my real complaint because I can live with the Rampage finisher because if it's done right, I like it more than I like the Page Turner,
right. Which
is a weird finisher to me. And, you know, you protect AJ by not having her tap out to the Scorpion Crosslock because, you know, tapping out is a big thing. As we know, John Cena
hasn't
tapped out in God knows how long.
I want to say, didn't we actually sit there and I think we counted, I don't know if Maddie actually gave us the facts
on
that.
No, we went back and tried to think about it playfully talking to you and I.
Wasn't it 7 years? I believe it was 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, there are fans of John Cena that may not have been born the last time he tapped out. I know that's a bit of a tall task, Maddie, but if you could find out.
But there are.
If you could find out somehow the last time John Cena tapped out, we would be very much...
I don't think it would be that. I mean, of course, you know, I'm not saying that Maddie's job is ever easy, and thank you for what you do, Maddie, but I will say that it's probably not that hard because I'm sure there are a lot of people like us on the Internet who keep documents of that, you know, where it's just, the last time John Cena camped out, this motherfucker, you know, just so pissed and just furious, just, the last time that son of a bitch camped out. I feel like it was JBL, by the way, but anyway.
So I'm glad that AJ didn't tap yet because there's obviously more to come with this feud. And I like her reserving the cross lock for somebody like Alicia Fox or, like, you know, the Bella Twins because I still don't think they're that impressive. So, yeah.
They're better than
what
I thought we were going to get, or at least Nikki is. But I'll say this much about, okay, here's the thing. And also, I know you agree with this, so you may have forgotten already because of how, you know, you were referring to them, or maybe you were only referring to the match. The ending itself, though, was, you know, kind of infuriated me as well as it did you because now, and of course,
you know, you're talking post match now.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I consider the end of the match. I'm sorry. I include the promo, you know, the segment parts of it, you know, all that stuff in the match itself. So sorry.
My apologies.
To the actual,
but yeah, I know what you're referring to now.
Flash.
So go ahead and let our listeners.
Yeah, sorry. So Tish is referring to the actual pinfall victory. I'm referring to the fact that, and of course, I know he doesn't like this either. It's the fact that Paige kissed AJ on the cheek. Now, I'm not saying that isn't a nice, gif-able moment, because we enjoy both AJ and Paige. However, this isn't women erotica. This is women's wrestling. Even women's sports entertainment, if you want to use that word, Mr. Kevin Dunn. There is no reason why Paige has to actually be crazy. And now we have, and I know I don't want to jump to Raw too quick, but still, we have AJ doing certain things, and now it looks like that both sides, there's no, you know, women don't have that whole, you know, heel face thing. They're just crazy. And it's upsetting because, yes, Dean Ambrose is crazy, right? I know there's some people might be like, but, you know, there's crazy men too. But there's such a depth in the male roster. Hell, just by the fact that there's more males in numbers in the company with, you know, wrestlers than there are females. That even if you make, you know, you make three male superstars crazy and you make three female superstars crazy, you immediately have a percentage of more female superstars that are crazy than male. You literally have one-fifth of your females, because let's just say there's 15 on the roster. You literally have one-fifth of your females crazy by having three of them. And we have more than three now, because I know we have Alicia Fox, we have AJ, we have Paige. Do we have more crazy women? Or is it only three?
Oh, we do.
No, actually, we only have three. But the problem is that you also have women that are catty, you have women that are this. So it just feels as if no matter what, for some reason, a woman is a heel. Like, what? Like, who are we supposed to cheer?
Yeah, I guess
what
ticks me off here is that heel page writes itself.
Yes.
Like, you don't need to do this crazy stuff at all. And I hate it because of the disconnect between NXT and WWE. Because
yes, of course.
In no way was NXT Paige, like, crazy. The messing with her, beating her down, heel thing, like, when she pushed her off the stage and stuff, that was
right.
Cool. That made me feel like, okay, this is the more anti-diva-esque Paige that we saw.
True.
And
right.
Then, you know, turning it around and making it seem like she's still got this kind of crazy thing, why is it too much for me to ask to get just heel Paige? That's it, just heel Paige. Because she makes generic heel extremely entertaining because of her natural charisma, because she just works better as a heel. You know, and
yeah,
it just
I agree completely, because it's just, you know, it's only interesting because, yes, in theory, I guess now you can root for whoever you want to in terms of, oh, do you want to root for AJ or Paige? Because it doesn't matter, since either one is freaking crazy. Is there a real face or a heel in this? Because, no, it's just crazy versus crazy. And, I mean, maybe, hopefully, we're trying to look towards a, oh, Paige was acting, but we have to learn it in the middle of, you know, these shows instead of during the actual night of. But the problem is that, again, even if she's just acting, even if it is that, right? Because, you know, again, jumping to Monday a little bit, it looks like Paige was thrown off her game because of AJ's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we might assume that, oh, Paige is just acting. Still. The fact that you have to, like, why can't we just have, because here's the thing, right? Recently, we haven't really had males that play mind games and go, you know, because here's the thing. I don't know. I consider Dean Ambrose not playing mind games. I consider him fucking nuts. You know what I mean? He doesn't sit there and, like, go, oh, I'm going to mess with Seth. No, he just says, how can I beat him up today? You know, that's all. He wakes up in the morning and goes, so how am I going to beat up Seth Rollins? You know, he gets out of the dumpster, and that's just what he plans. So, but with these women, apparently it has to be all about, yeah, women always hold a grudge. Oh, they're frenemies. You see, because, you know, instead of just saying, because what's funny is all you have to have them say is, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. You know what I mean? That's a phrase, and that's something that rings true, and people understand it, and it feels so good to say it, and you need to hear it, you know, literally, quote, blah, blah, blah. No, it's, we're frenemies, AJ. We're frenemies. We're, you know, it's like, no. You know, there's just so much you can do, and for some reason, we need to make stereotypes. And it's really interesting because, I mean, we have moved away from certain black stereotypes, I feel, so it's very interesting, some. So it's very interesting to see how, you know, where it's just, you know, it's like you talk to someone in WWE, and you say to them, oh, someone, actually, Triple H, go out there in blackface. What, are you crazy? We can't do that. That's racist. Oh, so it's perfectly fine, though, to send women out and to be caricatures of the crazy woman, you know? Oh, it's the vengeful ex-girlfriend. You know, the vengeful ex-girlfriend getting together, making a guy's life shitty. Who weren't also on the card, by the way, which is weird.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just, I don't want to spend too long on this because we do harp on this a lot, but it's just...
We do. Sorry, everyone.
We do. We really do. But it's just a matter of the fact that it's 2014, and I'm just getting really tired of the fact that a major company can't write a character for a female. People who have written viable female successful characters before and have ruined it. And they can see that they've ruined it. And it just, it disgusts me and upsets me.
Here's
so
the
much.
Thing. I understand why they can't write for females, because here's the thing. Even you and I think because we aren't women, there's certain things that we can't understand, you know? The same thing where we are minorities, so there are certain things we can understand. But even then, we understand so well that we'll just write minority characters as people, you know? We won't give them actual, like, I'm Hispanic. I'm not going to make a Hispanic person Scarface, you know, if I was given the chance to write. You know what I mean?
Right, you'd
so
make them the Mexicals. I get it.
Exactly. I would love them to be the Mexicals, because there is nothing inherently racist about Mexicans on lawnmowers. But anyway, all I'm trying to say is that old white men and one, I believe it's one, I actually don't know.
It's one minority. It's an Indian guy. And it's actually the guy who used to translate for Great Khali, I believe, Ranjan Singh.
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's his name. Thank you. Him and a bunch of white men. Now, and I'll be honest, maybe if they were younger, that's the thing, too, you have to take into account. The problem is that it's old white men trying to write for, that's why the word frenemy is used. I mean, we have Ashley Colpan on the show sometimes, one of our women, you know, one of those gals, rather, because, you know, it's those guys, and sometimes gals, sometimes we'll get them. But anyway, no, but seriously, she's trying to catch up with Raw and SummerSlam and all that stuff, so that's why she wasn't able to be on tonight. But we've had her on the show before, and I believe she said this live, and if she hasn't, she said that to you and I outside of the show, saying, women don't actually say frenemy. You know, like, it's like saying, you know what I mean? Like, women don't actually, like, it's like, you know, trying to say that, you know, me being Hispanic, right? Trying to say, you know, I can't even think, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, like, okay, here's a great idea, right? It's the idea of trying to say, like, oh, yes, since you're Hispanic, you have to throw in random Spanish words. And it's like, but why don't I speak in one language or the other? No, it's fine, Matt. Just say you're going to go out and have some chuletas. You mean pork chops? Matt, you're not white. You want chuletas. You know what I mean? So it's the whole, like, you don't use, like, that word can be used, but not in this situation. And the way you're trying to use it is getting borderline sexist, if not already sexist.
That's weird, because I'm not even going to say, it's just stupid. It's flat out stupid.
Because
characters can actually be characters. And it just, I'm actually almost tired of talking about this. Like, I'm being honest with you. It just irritates me because of how, it's so stupid that.
You know what? You're right. Satish, no,
I'm
going to
tell
right,
you something
actually.
Else stupid. And we're actually going to lose IQ points right now, live on
okay.
Those guys' radio.
Okay. I think that's something that people should
the
listen
last
to.
Time
right.
That John Cena tapped out.
2004. To JBL?
To Kurt. Why would he tap out to JBL?
They had like no holds barred weird stuff, and I feel like it'd be something weird where it's like an I quit match rather. Sorry, so
John
know
has
had
lost
I quit matches
five
before.
Submission matches, five matches by submission, in his career, according to what
this.
Maddie is telling me.
One of them
to Chris Benoit, and Angle has two submission victories over the Demon from Hell. So I. Can't. I mean, I'm really. I just want to put that out there for those guys and gals and guys and or gals / like neutral genders listening. Kurt Angle made him tap No Way Out 2004. We are in 2014. Indeed, now we can clarify and make that claim. There were Cena fans that weren't born at the time that he last tapped out in a match.
I think many people here listening are upset. I would just like to focus on the positive and say that Angle's the only one who could do it. No one else could. I think that's what we have to focus on right now.
If anything, Kurt, you have cemented yourself as an American hero to me more than ever before.
More than Swagger.
More than Swagger, who, as an American hero, uses the same finishing move.
Yeah,
we don't make fun of that enough.
Which we don't. We really don't. But seriously, yeah, I mean, I would say the Triple Crown is Kurt Angle, right? He is Triple Crown?
Kurt Angle has everything. He just
has multiple crowns. Anyway, so, yeah.
Kurt Angle is one of the best professional wrestlers that's ever existed.
That is actually
And he did
solve
it with a broken freaking neck.
He did. He did as well. Let's jump to something... To something. Oh God, I am Jack Swagger now. Fuck. Let's jump to something that won't piss you off. So Rusev versus Jack Swagger.
I thought won't piss me off.
I'm so sorry. Rusev versus Jack Swagger.
Do you know
Swagger.
The meaning of won't?
No. But Rusev versus Jack Swagger. So, hey, I'll tell you one thing though. Rusev is getting better, or at least I'm noticing little things about Rusev that I do
yeah,
like.
All right.
However, they
I'll
don't
say
help
this about
everywhere.
Rusev. I'll say
yeah.
this about Rusev, and this
okay.
is with it being well known that I really, really, really dislike the guy.
Right.
He can sell.
Yes, thank you.
He can sell, and he can sell effectively.
Well, but doesn't change
and
it.
He's starting to care about the little things in wrestling. And And I mean this not only from this match, but over the past few weeks when, like, coming out of the match off the last pay-per-view when he was hopping around on one leg, like, make it seem like he was really hurt.
Right.
I am actually impressed by that. I still don't think he deserves this push, and I still
don't like him.
But
that's the thing. I think that I really think he just needed some more NXT time. I don't think – I remember – and I'm not going to tell Maddie to go look, but I'm pretty damn sure – that the last time when we actually checked it out, he hasn't been in NXT as long as certain like other people. Like, you look at someone like Sami Zayn, and I'm sorry that I'm really getting you worked up tonight, but if you look at someone like Sami Zayn, and he's really good at what he does. Or, you know, even some other people that may not have had as much NXT time, but they're still really good. Where Rusev, he had NXT time. He actually got injured. He comes back. It feels like he only got a few months, and then all of a sudden it's just perfect. He's ready for push. It's like, no. You know, I mean, he's getting – and the problem, too, is, of course, the laziness or even it's just the fact that maybe they're just overwhelmed. I don't want to say lazy, but I want to. They're overwhelmed. The fact that they had to, you know, do this and blah, blah, blah. So there's so many pushes that they, you know, that they can't do at once. And, it leaves guys like Cesaro out in the cold. It leaves someone like Sheamus sitting there like, so I have a title, fella. You know, like, Sheamus, you have that worthless title. Just go. Where I think, especially in this in this angle, you know, the whole flag match thing. It was nice, but I feel like the United States title would have really helped it out.
That would have made it the most American thing since Kurt Angle.
That's what I'm trying to say. Where it's just, if you're going to go American, you go all the way. You don't just have a hot dog. You have a hot dog and a hamburger and a butt. You know what I mean? You have Budweiser. You don't just sit there. And you're just like, well, maybe a hot dog or a hamburger?
Did you
no,
just call that American promo?
I just did.
Apparently, America is hot dogs, hamburgers, and Budweisers. The straight-edge vegetarians out there want to murder you.
Hey, I never said you can't have a veggie burger and a veggie dog. All right? You can't. You're still
American. And non-alcoholic beer, I'm sure.
I mean, yeah. No, seriously, you can have... Yes, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Of course, you can have all three and still be American. Honestly, that's the funny thing is, when Rusev says to... Rusev doesn't speak.
When Rusev speaks... That's funny. Rusev doesn't speak. That's why we're giving him a push. Because he's so good at these things.
But anyway, hey, he has a... Oh, come on. Swagger can't speak. And when he does, you want to feel intimidated, but then just when he speaks... but anyway, so point is this. Listen, of course, everyone else is. Point is that Coulter can give a good promo like that where it's like, yeah, everyone loves America. The problem is all of a sudden he goes, yeah, you know, like we like beers and hot dogs and hamburgers, unlike those smelly, stupid Russians. Where are you going with? Yeah, over there, they don't like any of those things. You know what they like? Pissing on America. Okay, Coulter. You know, like, I think we're getting pretty bad here. You know what's even worse with Russians? When they're from borders that aren't American, just like Mexicans. All right, cut Coulter's mic. You know, he's still being very xenophobic. It isn't kind of, you know.
Yeah,
really
it's like a
enough.
Subtle xenophobic. But the fact is, because he's facing the enemy of the country now, he is, like, by default, an American hero. And I guess it's weird because now I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Swagger, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, I really don't. Because his one value as a face, because of his bad record and just the fact that they were so overly racist as characters to this point, was that he had to face Rusev and perhaps vanquish Rusev for a bit, you know?
Yeah.
And, now we've got Jack, who's lost to Rusev cleanly now because the flag match was a pinfall submission match.
That's the thing. It's their fault because I don't know how long this has been because, sadly, sorry, everyone, I took a break, right? But the last time I checked, a flag match was a capture the flag match. So they could have easily had Jack Swagger stand tall but have Lana the next night. And it couldn't – like, you didn't even have to have Swagger and Coulter respond. But you could have just had Lana say, hey, you know what? Of course they stood up with the American flag. Oh, yeah, they did. But has my Bulgarian brute been pinned? Because you know what? You know, Putin was very sad about last night. He really was. But guess what? We reminded Putin, because we always talk to him, we reminded him that our superior athlete has not been pinfall. You know, no pins. No pins. That's what she would say, no pins.
For me, I would have been happy with Swagger getting his moment at SummerSlam because I just, when you do certain angles, right, the heels just shouldn't be winning. And I'm not saying Russia shouldn't be winning ever, but when you made it to be America versus Russia in a flag match, you could easily have Swagger capture the flag, and then the next night, Lana cuts her promo saying, of course the Americans took the easy way out. They couldn't beat Rusev. They just ran to a flag. That's nothing. You know, so I would have enjoyed that a lot compared to this. And it bothers me because I was really getting into the face Swagger character. You know, I was We the Peopling everywhere.
I was always We the Peopling, so I don't think there was, I wasn't really into that character, but I agree with your points where it's just, there are certain angles where you can't have the heel win.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like, and this is only a hypothetical, this never happened, if a really, really white guy who kind of looked like he was in like a rock band, possibly from, Motley Crue? Like, what was it, like Lemmy something? The point is, if he had, you know, this long kind of like blondish hair, and he was saying these really racist things to an African-American fellow, let's pretend like he won like five world type, you know, titles or something, world heavyweight titles. And he said to this guy, he said he had nappy hair, and that he said, this is, you know, a chuck and jive for me. You know, people like you don't win major championships, right? Imagine saying that to a guy and then not letting the good guy, who was the guy who wasn't racist, win. That would be infuriating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, it says really bad things about your company. It's like when you have someone who's working backstage in your company constantly make racist remarks, and then when he gets called out on it and hit for it, he tries to sue the company because he's a little terrible person. I mean, stuff like that would really make a company look really bad because they kept racists working for them, right?
Satish, which one? Hey-o, high five. The joke is that there isn't one incident. There's probably been multiple that we don't know about. It's a joke, but in the inside, I'm crying. Yeah, I'm really sad about that. Why do I make myself sad? No, but seriously, yeah, there's certain angles that we don't need the heel winning. Because, and again, if they could have easily made the rules the way they used to be. And, yeah, it wouldn't have, you know, so it would be like when Rusev loses in a battle royale. No one says shit.
Oh, and for the record, on the Rusev topic, by the way.
Thank you.
Yep. Matty has mentioned to me that he was in Florida Championship Wrestling for 2 years, and then post-injury, he was in NXT for, and this sounds about more right to me, May 2013 to April 2014.
Oh, really? So he was on for a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, he's just really bad at what he does.
Clearly. Or the injury messed him up, apparently. Like, I'm not saying his head or anything, but apparently the injury must have thrown him off his game. Because
he had no game. If anything, the injury helped him. Because it gave him an excuse.
I'm hoping the injury helped him. But, yeah. Either way, the point is that he seems to be someone who needed some more time in NXT. I'll just say that much. But thank you so
much. Unlike people who are in NXT who don't need the time... Whatever.
Listen, some people that don't need the time are helping out other people that do need the time. The problem is that Rusev should have still been down there being helped. You know, that's the thing. Where it's just, Rusev should have been in more matches with Sami Zayn. That's pretty much what I'm saying. But yeah, so Rusev wins, and then we're all sitting there like, oh, that's nice. Because here's what I'm thinking. And tell me what you think about this. Right, tell me what you think about my little idea. What if, and I swear to God, don't be upset. Hopefully you'll laugh. What if they're building up Rusev to be this huge, evil monster heel, right? Obviously, he already is, but I mean, like, huge. I mean, top of the – to lose to John Cena, to make Cena look credible. Gerd Lesnar's loss.
Can't do it quick enough.
Okay, so you're excited.
Can't feed Rusev to John Cena quick enough.
So you want John Cena to bust out from behind or through
I
the
want
Russian
John
flag.
Cena to put – Alex Rusev threw 16 Germans and leave him in a pool of his own blood, sweat, and urine.
His name is Alexander. Anyway, so, yeah, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose was an interesting matchup. Tell me what you thought about it, because I know I felt
interesting?
Weird.
Interesting. My heart, it shattered. It just...
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That was a movie with a fight scene in it. That was storytelling.
Really?
That was math psychology. No, I'm being honest with you. I know it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I actually very, very much enjoyed that match.
The Lumberjack match.
We are talking about the same match.
Did you not enjoy the match? Well, I mean, here's the thing about that. Okay, obviously both competitors gave it their all, and that's what was nice about it. That's what worked.
No, hold up. You can't start discussion of a Rollins-Ambrose match and say, well, you know what? Both guys tried their best, and that's what really mattered.
But here's the
problem.
They put
on a freaking show!
But here's the problem. Because the thing is, here's the thing. I can't just say that's the only part of the match, because if this was a normal match, this could have been the match of the night. However, making it a lumberjack match is the problem, because what they do, and first off, they built it up very well, because up to the pay-per-view, they always had people saying things like, first off, they had Rollins saying, you know, everyone doesn't like us, Dean. And Dean kind of sat there with that face of, oh, maybe I should have thought this over better, right? And then, of course, you know, yeah, we have the announced team saying things like, oh, you know, maybe this wasn't the right thing to do, you know, I mean.
Before you go
you
on,
know,
let
but,
me list the lumberjacks for everyone out there listening, because I have the list.
Oh, please do.
Big E, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Damian Sandow, Eric Rowan, Fandango, Goldust, Heath Slater, Jay and Jimmy Uso, Kofi Kingston, Luke Harper, R-Truth, Rob Van Dam, Ryback, Sin Cara, Stardust, The Great Khali, and Titus O'Neil.
At least,
lots of
actually,
tag teams
I
in
wanna,
there.
I want to laugh at you because you said they're going to be doing double duty. No, they are not, sir.
I really
want to
sit there. The entire tag team division and Rob Van Dam and the Great Khali and Damian Sandow were the Lumberjacks.
Yes. Yes.
And Cesaro. For shits and giggles.
For shits and giggles.
You know what? Yeah, just talk to him. You're never getting a push, but we will pay you for working double duty tonight.
Pay them for double duty?
No, they don't.
No. That's what's really funny. I think someone, I forgot
that's
who,
the
someone
joke.
Somewhere. Someone, no, but not even you. Someone actual on the air was like, oh, what are they going to do, pay them double duty? They don't. Like,
no, they pay them once for
the
pay-per-view.
Oh, that is true, yes. They do pay them extra for the pay-per-view.
They get a pay-per-view bonus.
They do. Well, I don't know if they do anymore. But it was a
they do, but it's unclear on how it's calculated because of network subscribers. But
right.
Anyway, so
anyway, my
you
issue,
didn't
my
like
issue.
The match?
No, that's the problem. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. You have to really – it's hard to sit because – okay. I liked the competitors in the match and what they were able to do. The problem with the match type, and don't act like you haven't heard this before. I ranted to you. The problem is that WWE has this idea of like, oh my God, the Hell in a Cell is unscapable. Unscapable. No, it's not. But it is now. Oh, well, I mean, okay. Yeah, there's no way of getting out of this thing, man. I mean, it's nuts. Like, if you were able to get out of this thing, no way. I mean, hey, that's their rules, and okay, they're getting out now, right? Or, oh, yeah, the Elimination Chamber. There is no way of getting in and out of it unless someone opens it. And then you're fucked. And then you can, you know, get screwed over. And we probably shouldn't have opened it. Or it's like, you know what I mean? They're just like adding stipulations. Like, let's say, Lumberjack. Lumberjack match. No one can get out of the ring. It's like, well, that's actually good. You know, the two can actually wrestle and beat the shit out of each other and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, oh, actually, 30 men fell down. Oh, no,
okay.
Seth Rollins is running.
So here's why I disagree with you.
Okay.
The Elimination Chamber and the cage match stuff, that part you're spot on. It's really stupid when you have the Elimination Chamber, and they did this before as much as I liked it, you know, in terms of who they use for it. But when they were building up the Bray Cena thing, you know, you had the Elimination Chamber as the structure where it's like you have to stay in there, get your ass kicked, and leave, you know? And then Bray just kind of enters. That's not cool. You know, it kind of defeats – it's sort of like you pull the wool over our eyes, but you do it in a really assholeless way.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing if we're looking at the 6 men in the match and we're like, oh, Cena's going to win. And then Cesaro wins. We're like, wow, you got us, WWE. Great job. That's cool.
Right.
It's not like we told you nobody could get in and then we put somebody in. Those dumbasses. Like, no, that makes us feel really annoyed. The Lumberjack match for me, I know that the point is to keep them in the ring, but for Seth and Dean, it alters for me to it forces them to fight. You know what I mean? Like, their Lumberjack's job is not to keep them in the ring, but to make sure that the two of them are still within range of fighting each other, wherever that may be.
Right, yes, but the problem is, though, is that, here's the thing, though. Okay, but you're telling me that the Lumberjacks, when they came out, weren't given strict instructions because that's how the match is. Keep them in the ring. They can't get out of the ring. They were promoting that that's how the match worked all the way up until, like, at least with the flag match. They did not promote that the flag is on one end of the ring and the other one. I'm just remembering how it used to be. If they had promoted that's how it was up until the night of, and then when the night came, all of a sudden, Swagger was pinning Rusev and they went to a two count. That's how I feel right now. Which, just remember, it's their job. Their only job. If they couldn't do this job, they might as well be fired, to keep the two of them in the ring. And then they let them go. And they were standing there like, damn, they just left. You know, like, especially when some of the spots with the Lumberjacks, in my opinion, were very calculated and a bit too slow, because you couldn't have Dean being as crazy as he normally is and, like, elbowing people left and right, because he'd probably actually hurt someone, which is upsetting, because I swear, I don't think it was my stream, when he fell on Lumberjacks or Lumberjacks trying to pull him away, it felt, you know, nice and slow and gingerly, not, you know, violent and, hey, get the hell out of my way, I'm Dean Ambrose. Only one it felt that way with was Fandango, which was really funny, by the way. Just elbow Fandango. Just, yeah, every once in a while I elbow a Fandango.
Right. But, like, match quality, you weren't impressed?
That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Match quality, I was impressed. It's like, I'm telling you, I can't say, oh, that match was terrible.
Because all I'm getting from you, what I assume, is that you didn't like the Lumberjack stipulation.
I didn't like how they used the Lumberjack
And the way you worded
stipulation.
It in the beginning made it sound like you didn't like the match.
No. Of course I love Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and what they can do to each other. The issue is that, you know, they didn't need it to be Lumberjack, is what I'm saying. You see what they did on Raw, and I'd argue that I like that better than the Lumberjack. Because
I don't know.
Of what
I mean,
they were just...
I don't know. I guess for me, it was a fresh take on something that we haven't seen them really give an actual try for in a while. You know, and
explain.
This is probably going to be the best Lumberjack match in history. We don't have much of a standard of Lumberjack matches. And
okay, then I guess that's what matters then. We've had so many shitty ones that I guess this...
No, that's what I mean.
Again,
like, for me, when you sit there and
it's
like
it's
me saying,
match.
Like, this is the best
it's
Rusev match. Like, you know,
no,
it's not really
I'm
like...
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It was a good match, but it was a
it
shitty
was.
Lumberjack
it was
match.
I don't
it was a
think
shitty
so.
Lumberjack.
I really don't think so.
It was a good match. I don't even understand how you can say that when they literally said, here's the deal. Because you're trying to take it and say, oh, no, it's actually there. You know, they actually have to make them fight. No, they say you have to keep them
a
in
a shitty
the
Lumberjack match for me would be if Seth Rollins left the arena and no fight happened. Because that would
Fair
be a
enough.
Shitty match. That would not actually
Fair
have happened.
Enough.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
they still,
I will
the fight still happened.
No, and I'll give you, here's another thing, by the way. Seth Rollins was able to screw over Dean Ambrose because he was able to get that briefcase in the ring. Because the Lumberjacks weren't able to do, you know what I mean? I just feel as if, also the fact that, by the way, another thing that I don't know if you noticed this, and it's only, again, only concerning the Lumberjacks, which is very interesting. I'm sorry that I'm focusing on this a lot. But up until the match, everyone was saying, yeah, man, like, these Lumberjacks, they all hate Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. All of them do. Immediately, you notice a face and heel divide. Immediately. And I know that's standard. But then don't promote your show to say, oh, yeah, I mean, you can have RVD punching Ambrose in the face because, you know, fuck Dean Ambrose. Like, doesn't matter who's good or who's bad. I mean, all of them have been fucked over by the Shield. So, of course, they're going to hate them. But, no, there was an actual divide where you'd see certain wrestlers of certain, you know, face or heel types helping out or rather hurting, let's say, more Ambrose or hurting more of Seth than it was. You know, then it was supposed to happen, I feel. But again, although I will admit to you, yes, it was very nice to have them go out and actually bring Seth and Dean back to the ring. That was a cool spot.
Yeah.
But again, it also makes me think, why did that have to happen in the first place if you were doing your damn job right? You know, maybe there's a reason.
I don't know.
Everyone
I mean,
you're
you're overly pissed at the Lumberjacks and taking away the fact that we have, like, an art form in the ring.
I'm not saying that we didn't, though. I'm just saying that we had a shitty Lumberjack match. We had an amazing singles match. That's what I'm saying.
No,
to tell
we
you.
Had a
These
solid Lumberjack
did.
Match. They did what lumberjacks do in lumberjack matches. Nobody ever does shit the right way in lumberjack matches.
No, I would say, here's the thing, I would say that usually they do, although I will say, I saw a really bad lumberjack match at Madison Square Garden that was worse if only because the lumberjacks left, but
they left.
So
that's a shitty lumberjack match. And another one is where John Cena jumps on all 20 of them and they never get up ever.
Actually, no, well then I'll tell you this much. John Cena jumped on 20 of them. They did get up and then they left. But again, I never said this was the worst lumberjack match ever. I'm just saying that it's just, why call it that then? Why could we, are you telling me we couldn't have had the same exact type of where they're fighting in the ring? Seth leaves, Dean chases after him, punches him, pulls him back to the ring by beating the shit out of him, then gets him in the ring for the pinfall. Kane comes out, distracts Ambrose. Seth Rollins goes, takes the briefcase, comes back, hits Ambrose in the face, let's pretend it's like a no DQ. All of a sudden, Seth Rollins gets the pin. Where were the lumberjacks needed there?
But you basically summed up a match that didn't happen. You took away the fact that that match was incredible.
But I just said the entire, exactly everything that happened, minus lumberjacks. So then where did they really fit in there?
I don't think we're going to agree on this at all. I really don't, because I'm sitting here thinking that I don't think we get each other at all right now. Because
fair enough. I'm just saying
I was really in love with the match, and I thought that they added to it, and I thought that it felt, I don't know. I don't know how to describe this to you in a way that you'll understand. Because I was so enamored with that match and everything involving it and everything that happened. And taking the lumberjacks away makes it a segment on Raw where Ambrose is chasing Rollins again. And it just doesn't – it gave it a little bit of a fresh look, and it didn't even need the fresh look. So if you want to say, I guess, they could have done a singles match, yeah, I guess they could have, but I don't have any complaints about the match, to be honest with you.
All right. It was
like match of the night for me.
All right. Well, I mean, again, match – I understand that because of what Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose were able to do with each other. Just everything else surrounding it is what – I don't like, but I'm not saying that it is the worst match ever or even on the card. But again, with what they did surrounding it, I did not like the lumberjack stipulation, because the lumberjack stipulation should be, from what they're telling me, keep these guys in the ring, don't let them get out, unless they're doing backflips or something to jump over you guys and then run away. Don't let them out. You know, I'm pretty sure there wasn't a time where, and if there was, then, you know, forgive me, where every single lumberjack was taken out. No, there were times when one or two at a time it was, hey, Dean, could you please get off of him? Oh, that's your elbow. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it didn't feel like...
It's just a matter of, like, for me, that match was supposed to be a brawl because Ambrose was supposed to be ridiculously, and it turned into a brawl at multiple points because of the lumberjacks being there.
It turned into a brawl once, and I did enjoy that, where everyone was there beating the shit out of each other. That was nice. But then, of course, it turned into, oh, no, because of that, because there are currently no lumberjacks now, Seth was able to get that, you know, Money in the Bank briefcase in the ring, and, oh, no, now we won. Oh, man.
Are you upset because Rollins won? Did you want Dean to win?
No, he could win, although I will admit, it does suck that Dean has been written off television, basically. But, I mean, it just...
But he's filming a movie.
Yeah, I understand why. But which is true. He is still filming a WWE movie, which is awesome. I mean, it's a situation where if Seth Rollins won, it just sucks that he won with heelish behavior that shouldn't have happened because lumberjacks.
The lumberjacks aren't superhuman, though. Like, there was a brawl that you seem to be expecting, like, RoboCop lumberjacks. That the second, like, Dean stuck his head out of the ring, someone Falcon punched him. Like, nope, you will not leave the premises. I am a lumberjack.
What if... Okay,
like,
let's be honest.
That's what you seem to want. And no emotions either. They can't be faces or heels. They can't have issues with each other. Just emotionless RoboCop lumberjacks is what you seem to want. Surrounding the ring.
That's what they're promoting for me. If they told
But you know that they're human beings with face and heel alliances and... You know, brawls happen.
All I'm saying is that there is no reason why because, again, if WWE didn't tell me, oh yeah, they hate both of them. Because here's the thing, you're like, it just felt, it felt weird that you would have some people go, hey Dean, it's all like, what, either way, we're not going to derail this. I shouldn't be explaining it anymore. I've already explained it enough, and you've explained your side, and I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying what I didn't like about the Lumberjack aspect, but that does not mean that I don't enjoy Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose wrestling, and I can't wait for them to wrestle again at Hell in a Cell. Hopefully at Hell in a Cell. Because
hopefully
I've heard that that's when... Hopefully less... Actually, no. I want more Lumberjacks around the Cell.
You only want
RoboCop
Lumberjacks.
No,
those are
no,
the
no.
only Lumberjacks that will make you happy.
Cesaro is a RoboCop. Let's be real here. Cesaro would uppercut Dean Ambrose had he got stuck his head out the ring. And Kali would have tried to walk over there, and it would have took him the about the time of the match to get to the other side of the ring. Sadly, the competitors would have already been on the other side by then.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The point is that we had strong people lumberjacking. We had Titus. We had Cesaro. We had Kali. That's all I'll say. But anyway, let's move on because, again, we can't really agree. Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho, that was something we both expected, right? Bray winning?
Yeah, no, and that was cool because it needed to actually happen. Liked it because, well, first off, he kicked out of a Codebreaker, which is, you know. Bray looked so strong in this match, and
yeah,
I don't
that
even,
was nice.
I can't overstate it. The Wyatt family was banned from ringside. There wasn't some crappy, we're going to go into darkness, the Wyatt family will kill Chris Jericho, and then Bray will win thing.
Yeah.
Bray, and this is an understatement, because of all the stuff we had in terms of Rollins, Ambrose, Cena getting murdered, Ziggler winning, Paige winning, all the stuff that went on, you know, that the Bella heel turn, that I think this went by the boards, but it really doesn't need to. Bray looked excellent. They found chemistry.
Yeah.
Looked great. He made Jericho look good in defeat.
I mean, yeah, he hit him against the barricade and then brought him in to do it again. And yeah, it makes Jericho look good because it took two and one on the barricade, you know, one Sister Abigail. And what's amazing is that this is what we needed from day one with someone, and I'm happy it's with Jericho. It's kind of funny, I think, when people were saying, nope, Bray's going to lose again. That was this. I think this was actually the one match that I was completely secure about, where I sat there and I thought, yeah, I mean, why would, like, really, like, Bray would lose again to Jericho unless for some reason they think, nope, the third time around Bray would win. No, that's stupid.
No, because I'm sure at some point Jericho, having a brain, sits there and says, I'm not losing. You know, I'm not going to win again. I'm not winning again. This kid needs to win and look good against me.
Exactly. That's why he came back. You know, he comes back to help talent out. But, of course, you know, that's why we made jokes and we said, RVD needs to talk to Jericho. You know, and just have Jericho say, hey, listen, man, you really can't go around losing to everyone, you know? And when you're going to win against someone, not Cesaro, you know, like a Damian Sandow or anyone, you know, and or anyone else that's kind of in that weird zone. Like, even Titus O'Neil, if you want to be like, oh, the fast guy was able to, you know, out-speed and out-wit the big, tall guy, something, a muscly guy, something like that. But to have it be against, like, Cesaro, it's like, ugh. You know, he's new, and he was at least up there. But anyway, yeah, so Jericho, thankfully, was able to help out Bray. And, yeah, he beat the Wyatts to make sure that they couldn't come out to the ring. And you know, instead of having a John Cena moment where at the end he either comes out and is able to win or does something extremely heelish, or even not heelish, but something like, you know, okay, using the table is completely within rules. So I'm going to make sure to put Bray Wyatt through two tables, you know, or Bray will put me through two tables. And then when he throws me into the ring, I'll get up at a two count. And then I'll make sure to make him tap with the Walls of Jericho. And it's like, that's something John Cena like. And that would have made me extremely angry, and I wouldn't have known what to say. Like, I was sat there and thought, I guess Jericho doesn't have an opinion, because that's not something that Jericho would do.
Right, I agree.
And you can see with this match, this is what Jericho does. You know, this is what Cena should be doing. This is what hopefully he might be doing in the future. Not soon enough, but in the distant future, this is what Cena should be doing. Which, hey, I will say, if the opponent calls for it and if the company asks for it, he will take a beating.
Is, I'm okay with it being like a hellacious fight to beat John Cena. You know, I mean, I get that you've built him up to be this kind of superhero. So
yeah.
When Brock kryptonite his ass, you know, I was pretty happy. But yeah, it just.
Oh yeah.
I like that everything about the Jericho Bray thing worked for me. I was very pleased, and it's gonna just kind of like slide by the boards. But you know what? Good job, Jericho. I mean, continues to be.
Most definitely.
And I think hopefully this will lead to what would be cool is that Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho get a third match, and Bray wins that one. Because then we could start forgetting about what happened with Cena and actually think, wow, Bray Wyatt's going to be an up-and-comer. If you want to give somebody a heel push to look crazy and stuff, you give it to Bray, not Rusev.
If they're smart, they'll have Jericho win the next one, and then Bray will cut a promo on Jericho the next night on Raw. And for about a good 6 months to a year, it'll be consecutive matches where Chris Jericho either wins, and then the next one Bray Wyatt wins, and the next one Chris Jericho wins. And then the next one, Bray Wyatt wins. And for about a good year, it's just Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. And we all sit there and we go, damn it, how is this not old yet? Because they do something new. Or because they're at that certain pay-per-view, it's like, now it's a Hell in a Cell. Now it's the Money in the Bank. Now it's just, not, you know, now he has a funny hat on. So each and every match is just brand spanking new. There's nothing, and there's nothing that resembles the match before it for a full year. That's what they should do.
Don't you dare,
course,
Mr. Moreau.
And of
don't
course,
you dare.
And of course,
don't you dare.
And of course, sarcasm.
Nope. Nope.
You know what they shouldn't be doing so much? Though it is a nice one-off moment. Stephanie versus Brie.
Okay, so this was interesting.
Yes.
All right. They got more time than they needed.
Yes.
That's my first thing. More time than they needed.
Shave off 2 minutes at least.
Yeah. Now, Stephanie and Brie... Going to give them credit. They didn't look great, but they didn't look bad at all. I was really pleased with Stephanie's work. This is the first time she's been in the ring in over 10 years. With Brie, this is the first time she's been in the ring, and it mattered in a long time. You know, so pressure for the two of them. And it was really, I don't know how to describe it, but like it was good. And the heel turn caught me off guard a little because I think I said to you on the phone, not on air. No, I might have been on air where we were discussing Raw, and I thought the infidelity angle was so stupid because they could have done something so simple as in, like, hinted that, oh, Daniel cheated with the sister if they really, really desperately wanted to do infidelity, or at least laid some kind of groundwork for the heel turn. I know they wanted to pull it out of, like, their asses and kind of be like, gotcha. And I knew that eventually this was always going to lead to a Nikki versus Brie angle. But I just felt like it was really, really stupid the way that it was done on the night off.
You know what I would have pulled for? And this is a half joke, half truth. I would have rather pulled for a Triple H turn. And hear me out here completely before you are completely confused. A Triple H turn, that for a good 4 to 5 months, Triple H is the nicest man in the world, and everyone's just like, maybe, I don't know, immediately turns heel again. And when everyone sits there and thinks, oh, come on, what the hell? He goes, I wanted to give you all hope, and then crush it. Because honestly, that's the best thing in the world for me. I would have rather have had that, because here's the thing, because here's our alternative, everyone. Our alternative is, not only is Nikki a heel now, that it's going up against her sister, but for some reason, we're sitting here and we're meant to believe that, yeah, she wants to be a heel. That's fine. All right? Hate your sister. Why are you helping out the authority, though?
That's the thing. Like, there was nothing laid there for me that thinks, you know, I can get if you're angry at your sister. That's cool, sibling rivalries and all that stuff. But this really came out as, like, the authority. Like, you know, I am so mad at my sister. I'm going to join the people who put me through hell for the last few months. Because my sister is terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it. There was no groundwork for it. That being said, you know, Steph Brie was not that bad. They filled up their minutes okay. It fit the whole big-time match SummerSlam atmosphere. You know? So there were good things to take away from it. I just don't enjoy the fact that...
No, neither do I. And in my funny little Triple H joke, I only think about it, you know, because, again, Triple H has all the money in the world. What can he do but screw with people on his roster and have everyone laugh? Compared to Nikki, who it's just So you guys have put me through hell for months. And, like, she can't even say, it's because of my sister. It's like, Nikki, fair enough. But they've also put you through hell. You know what I mean? You could have done a lot.
I like that you put
a
Bella emphasis on that.
Yeah, I have to.
They've put you through hell.
Actually, no. A Bella emphasis would be minus one of those. So I think it's they put you through hell.
I don't like you. You're my sister.
Why are we making them sound like Rumble McSkirmish?
I like that. Wouldn't you be a little bit more interested?
If they were both Rumble McSkirmish? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But seriously, on top of all this,
and jokes aside, and, you know, Bella emphasis aside, which sucks.
Right.
I'm going to see where this story goes, because the heel turn was an interesting way to... Because it made sense. I mean, since Bree's probably going to be around the company for a little bit, you know, at least a few years, and Nikki as well, it didn't make sense to have her lose to Stephanie cleanly, but you just couldn't end it here.
Yeah, it's a situation, I think, where, you know, and I hate to use this person, and I know we said this over the phone, I said this to you over the phone, but if you can think of Nikki like Stone Cold, somewhere in your mind, somehow make that connection. I don't know where. You could think of her as the person who's a heel, or at least who is the, you know, I don't like you, sister. Even though you're a face, I'm going to beat the shit out of you because I don't like you. But hey, authority, back up. Don't get near me. I don't want to be with you either, you know? But no, for some reason, she has to come out on Monday, which, hey, we'll talk about tomorrow, with Stephanie McMahon. And just say, like, you know, as if, yeah, you know, Stephanie, everything you say, I agree with. Like, yeah, I don't like her because of her face and because of Daniel Bryan's face. She married that face. Oh, my God. Oh. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, my. Like, you know, like, why Stephanie McMahon? And, of course, yes, we can see where this goes. But the problem is that it always started off with a very unclear yet pretty tight-knit alliance with the Authority. Or at least help Authority win the match. Like, if you really hated them so much, make it a double DQ or something, where it's just, hey, look, I'm beating up, you know, Brie, but back the hell up, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's just, because you could have easily had Nikki punch Brie in the face. Stephanie laughs. Nikki turns around and just goes, you serious? And then punches Stephanie in the face. You know? And it would have been a weird situation because we would have sit there and we would have at least made a...
You know, all jokes aside, that sounded a lot cooler than...
Right?
Like all the jokes that we were, like, going through just now.
That's what I'm saying. It makes us talk in a way that says, oh, what is actually going to happen? Rather than, because yes, this is, well, this can't be their surprise. I think Hulk Hogan was their surprise because this couldn't be, that's a thing too, by the way. They said...
Ronda Rousey might have been the surprise.
What?
Ronda Rousey might have been the surprise.
That's true. That may have been the surprise. Because I'm assuming that it couldn't have been anything else. Because, or either that or Hulk. Because I'm thinking about it, and it's just there's no other way. Because they couldn't have known about the face turn, the heel turn, which is a really bad thing. Because if they knew about that, then that's making it sound like the Authority paid her off. Which we do not want a story like that, which it looks like we're not getting a story like that. But in no way should it revolve around the Authority at all. Which is why my weird, you know, reimagining, rebooking of this, fantasy booking, makes Nikki look a lot stronger than she did. Where it looked like, yes, Steph is winning, and Nikki's just with that face. Just the, I don't enjoy you anymore. Like, you know, that whole, no, it's just, oh, Nikki actually looks pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, let's move on, shall we?
Go for it.
Roman Reigns and Randy Orton.
Ugh. Okay.
I would like to thank Randy Orton for what
Go
he
for
did
it.
For Roman Reigns. Because I think that, you know, he's teaching Roman Reigns a lot. You know, regardless of what the rumors are saying about him backstage, I like that he's helping Roman. And Roman pulled out some new moves. Randy Orton, although I will say, the only problem with the match is it did make me like Randy Orton more than Roman Reigns, which is an issue. Because Randy, I don't know if it happened on purpose or not, but I think Randy got better spots than Roman did.
Well, I mean, I think what it is for me, at least being a Randy Orton fan, I think people underestimate how good Randy Orton is at being a WWE superstar. You know what I mean?
They do.
We see a lot of people in the forums saying he's boring or he's not good at something. Randy Orton knows what to do, knows his place, does a lot of things, and he does have a bad rep for certain things. you know. But Randy Orton's good at his job. And last night was an excellent – last night. Sunday night was an excellent example of why. You put him against somebody who is still, unfortunately, and we've been saying this for months, but green in the ring, you know, or limited in the ring. And he got a better match out of him than I expected. I didn't
as
love
did
it.
As did I. What's funny is that I think I – it's a situation where matches that I really had little to no hope for, I found better than I thought. You know what I mean? So this match, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And I have to agree with you where we're not saying that Randy Orton's the best wrestler alive.
Correct.
New. That's from the world CM Punk. But in the WWE style,
might have been arrested over the weekend, but go on.
We'll be talking about this off the podcast later.
Heard a rumor.
But anyway, Randy Orton, you know, he's really good in that WWE style where – yeah, if you say, oh, who's the best sports entertainer in the world? Randy Orton, I would argue, because he's so good at – because, again, people are like, oh, it's boring. Or is he playing his character so well that you can't even tell? Same thing with Bo Dallas, where there are some people out there who are still saying, Bo Dallas is a really shitty gimmick. And it's like
so,
you mean the
Bo
gimmick –
so, really annoys me. Good.
Exactly, right? Bo isn't interesting at all. He's just an annoying bastard. You got it.
You got it. That's his gimmick.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's the thing, where it's just there are certain people that are really good at what they do, and Randy Orton is one of them, and people sadly forget because of his – because, yes, I can understand why people were chanting boring, because that was his character. Sadly, without realizing it, or maybe even with realizing it, and they were just going along with it, like how, you know, boring. They're going along with it because now it's just – he's the exact opposite. Now you forget that he was ever that shitty chicken shit heel. Now you remember that he is the Viper.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things that's coming from this, and I'll give Roman credit for this too, because it is sort of a dual thing.
Right.
When it comes down to this feud, it has been a little forced, it has been a little weird, but I am very pleased with what they've done in terms of making Randy Orton look like a credible threat again.
Right.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean... And it's really nice, you know, and I think there's not a lot really to say about this match other than it was better than what I thought, and I mean, it really made Roman look better than other people could have.
Yeah, although I will say something that was a bit, I don't know if I'm cool with him kicking out of the RKO. I know
Fair
that
enough.
Sounds weird, but
I understand.
You know, like, I don't know if I'm cool with him kicking out of the RKO.
I will still, even though I agree with you, I'll still say that he's a bigger guy than other guys. You know, even John Cena, for some reason, he looks like Roman can take a lot more. Like, if we're trying to go for believability, I do believe that Roman Reigns could fight Brock Lesnar. Or, sorry, can wrestle Brock Lesnar. No one can fight, really, Brock Lesnar. Because Brock Lesnar, unless you're like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk or something, Brock Lesnar can actually kick ass. Right?
Correct.
But what I will say is that I do believe that Roman can wrestle Brock Lesnar. Though now it becomes interesting because Brock fought that match, which we're getting to soon, very MMA. We wonder if in the future it has to be more MMA. So where you sit there and you go, I don't know, like, who is
if Roman
to
can do that. And
yeah.
To be fair, Roman is a strong striker. He actually is a strong striker.
Right.
It's just going to be really interesting because the rumors are Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And that's interesting. You know, that's what I'll give you. Interesting.
Very
I don't think he's ready yet. WrestleMania is a long time from now, and things can change. I certainly agree.
Yeah.
But he's just – and he can improve. And he showed some signs of improvement last night. So
mm-hmm.
– Sunday night, God. Sunday night. So I'm not –
I know.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I just
– I mean – not only can he improve, obviously, but, I mean, you know, everyone – it's funny how everyone forgets about Daniel Bryan, but, of course, the rumors are – two rumors. The first is that, you know, you have Triple H and Vince. Triple H is pushing for Lesnar Reigns, and Vince is pushing for Lesnar Rock. But, of course, the other set of rumors is – which happened a while ago – is that they're really trying to put Daniel Bryan out of their plans. you know, because of the fact that he is injured, and they don't want to think about him in a way that, you know, it's going to be like, oh, well, we have to think about Daniel Bryan, I have to rely on Daniel Bryan. No. So for right now, they're trying to think of him. So that's why that's the, you know, in the rumor mill, because they're trying to say, like, oh, well, you know, right now, like, we'll just think, yeah, like, you know, Lesnar this, or, you know, Rock that, or Roman that. Because, hey, if Daniel comes back, for all we know, yeah, he could be main eventing WrestleMania again.
Maybe which not would be winning, great.
But main eventing. Yeah. But, yeah. So, before we move on to the main event, I do want to mention one thing, one interesting thing. I want to mention that we didn't talk about the Yes Lock, or what was supposed to be the Yes Lock, with Nikki and Brie. Nikki and Brie.
Okay, so, Brie's yeah, done. you mentioned to me before I got a chance to see it that it looked off to you, and I made the joke that it was the Maybe Lock. But
yeah, it looked like a variation.
It's interesting, because it just looked a little... It did look weird for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Like, the thing is, I'm not saying I didn't like it. It just felt like how your pet peeve when they call... They don't understand that there's a difference between the Lion's Salt and the Walls of Jericho.
Damn it.
That's what I'm saying. That's
you said
what it
Lion's
feels
Salt.
Like. What?
You said Lion's Salt.
No, I said Lion Salt.
It's the Lion Tamer.
Oh, okay. See, no, what's funny is the way you said it again. The way you said it twice, though, you made it...
My old partner can't get the move name right.
You know what I love? I love the close-up, and I love the, I love when they do the power, what is it, the power suplexes. Those are awesome. Also, I love the French-German suplexes. Damn it, I was supposed to not say German there.
I
the
hate you,
because
it would have been fine if you said French suplex, and I would have laughed.
They've mingled. What, French and German people can't get together and make suplexes? You're xenophobic.
That would be a really odd thing for them to make if they just worked out together.
All I know is that the point is that it is a lion tamer. Now, is the lion salt an actual thing, or am I going crazy?
The lion salt is the moon salt you see me do off the ropes in WWE 13 all the time. It's
thank the good Lord, I'm not, you know, because the problem is that, as you've known on the show before, I've called to be like, I'm like, yeah, you know about Titus, though, kid. Fuck.
I mean
Tyson O'Neal. Shit.
No, the lion
you know,
salt
Batman.
Is a thing.
I'm
it is part of the same guy's moveset, so you weren't that far
Matt.
Off. But
yeah.
The moves, the
no.
Lion Tamer and the Walls of Jericho are the two similar
yeah.
submission moves.
I'll tell you this much. Michael Cole would call it the Lion Salt.
If
Michael Cole
called it the Lion... I think Michael Cole has always called it the Walls of Jericho.
That's
so, you
problem.
Know, the Lion Tamer being called the Walls of Jericho is a little bit better than it being called the Lion Salt.
Yeah,
considering
you know,
one's a submission and one's a moonsault off the ropes.
What if he... Well, I have a question. What if he did the moonsault off the ropes and then turned it into... the Walls of Jericho or the Lion Tamer.
Repeat that? I'm sorry.
I'm being an idiot. Don't worry about it. I don't have
okay, to. Good.
I was being an idiot. The point is that, seriously, though, if calling it either the Lion Tamer, versus Walls of Jericho, that, I consider the Yes Lock that Brie Bella did to be a nice variation the way it looks.
I mean, it just...
But I don't consider it to be... Like, it's upsetting that it was called, like, the Yes Lock. And it's like, really? Because it doesn't look like
it is. I think
like
it was, like, on... When we were talking about Raw, and she put Stephanie in some kind of Yes Lock variation again.
Right. You know, it's a thing where she's like, you know, Stephanie was to the side a bit more, where she shouldn't be. It should be the opponent is laying face, you know, stomach down. So that's the thing. So that's just me, though. But anyway, the point
yeah,
is
I'm
that
actually
I thought
not
it was,
completely against you. I get it.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It's just... I don't like how she's like, yep, that's the Yes Lock. It's like, look, if Brie picked up, you know, I'm sorry, Brie. Wow. Nikki picked up John Cena for the, yeah, actually, Nikki picked up John Cena for the Fireman's Carry. Now she's a complete heel. She picks him up for the AA and does it the exact, you know, the wrong way. And it's like, oh, no, it's the AA. It's like, but that's the wrong way. But that,
yeah.
It's like that situation where it's just, could we at least acknowledge that it doesn't look exactly like it should, but damn it, she's doing it, you know? It's happening. But either way, that's all I wanted to mention before we moved on, because it happened, and it's mentionable. And, of course, Steph's wardrobe was amazing, and it looked extremely violent. And it looked like she was going
cool.
to kick ass.
I
and
was
also,
down with
she
her, her choice of clothing for the...
And I liked that it didn't show too much, so there wasn't a thing of, like, it didn't look like... It was weird because it felt like something a dominatrix would wear, but it wasn't revealing enough to make you think, like, oh, it's so sexual.
I like that you went there, because I didn't want to go there.
I had to go there because not only did it look like that, but she, as she had Bree, she was holding her by her hair, pulled her back and said, "You're my bitch." And I sat there and I went, I don't know what. Like, I was really, I was like,
I'm down with them not calling each other bitches anymore. Please to God.
Actually,
if
you know what I'm down with?
Start doing this thing.
You want to know what I'm down with? I'm down with Jerry Lawler not saying the word bitch.
I'm down with Jerry Lawler not talking and doing commentary for Raw anymore.
Did you notice that he was about to say it?
I kind of drowned out most of commentary for this pay-per-view. I'm not going to lie to you.
Fair enough. I did as well. But I think
from Ambrose Rollins on, I ignored most of commentary. I'm not going
to
lie to
you. Fair enough. I tried to as well. But I believe it was on the pay-per-view. Maddie, could you please help us out and tell us while I'm ranting? Because I'm still ranting about something, but I'm not too sure if it happened on pay-per-view or on Raw, and that's my problem. When it was all three of them, and, you know, and they basically stopped Jerry Lawler in between saying, yeah, you know, she said that she was going to beat her, you know, she was going to do something, and she was going to make her beer, whoa! And they basically interrupted Jerry and said, you know, we're not going to say that word here, but yes, that's what she said. And I kind of sat there and I thought, was that a planned spot or not? Because if it was planned, it's still shitty either way. And if it wasn't, why is this guy on your roster? Like, no matter what, it seems like WWE is at fault here. It's like, so WWE planned that, and that was bad, that he was about to say the B word, and then they had to stop him. Or two,
I can't confirm that to you. And I'm sad that I
sadly
didn't notice it, because I would have definitely sat there and been like, Jerry, you idiot.
Yes. But what matters is either way, it's funny. WWE, you're wrong. Either keeping him on or telling him that's a spot you should do.
Agreed.
But hey, good things happened, right? Really, really good things, because now we're at the main event.
We've actually paced ourselves pretty well. Usually we screw up with our recaps so bad.
Well, the thing is, though, I'll say this much. We didn't do a pay-per-view last time, sadly. It was supposed to be Ashley Cole, Penn, and I, but sadly her internet was screwing up on her, so she couldn't watch Battleground as it aired. So what I'll say is this much. Because of the fact that, you know, we haven't done a pay-per-view in a while, and also it's pay-per-view, so it's really hard to go that off track. I mean, even filling up a lot of our talk with, you know, feminism and stuff like that, you know, and the way WWE reacts, like, you know, it's a foreign food that they don't like that gives them a stomachache. For some reason, you know, it didn't take up a lot of our time because, I mean, and also a lot of these matches were good. I noticed usually it's, we've said this before, usually bad laws are what gets us. Because we have to bitch and moan about almost the entire Raw. And
right.
Say, you know, here's what's the problem with the company, here's where they're not going in the right direction, blah, 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 I love my Cesaro. So now we were able to have some of those moments where it's like, oh, I love my Cesaro. But, right, we had, you know, I mean, you know.
Okay,
Maddie won.
Stated, by the way, that
yeah.
If it did happen, no one else has mentioned it. And that Mads can't confirm or deny it either. So you might have been, you know. You might be misremembering or going crazy.
I mean, I'm not saying, okay, here's the thing. I don't think I'm misremembering. I'm pretty crazy, I would say that much.
Wild and crazy guys.
Yeah, wild and crazy guys. I mean, hell, I just said before Maddie thankfully gave us that information that the Miz won. I'm fairly certain he didn't win. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Ziggler guy won. The point is that we had a really good night. And, of course, Brock Lesnar got to beat. Here's the thing. I know you say that there wasn't, like, okay, not you, but I felt as if, and some others felt, that there wasn't any blood, you know, urine or vomit or any of those. I'm pretty sure John peed his pants and we didn't see it. Because he beat the piss out of him. He beat the snot. There's a lot of snot in the ring because he beat the snot out of John Cena. He beat him to the point where I did feel bad for John Cena. Though I was happy he'd take down for a 3 count.
I like, because you told me you felt bad for John Cena, and you were like, no,
yes.
No, man, it's that bad. And I watched it, got popcorn halfway through, changed pants twice, got a box of tissues for the changing of pants and the tears coming from my eyes, and may have found God. All in the course of about 15 minutes.
Actually, Wikipedia says, which is the unconfirmed time, that it was actually 16 minutes and 6 seconds.
Within
I'm
that
just
extra
trying
minute,
to tell,
might have had to change
I'm giving
hands.
You that extra minute
Lost
and
count.
6 seconds just to make us happier. Because, yes, Ding Dong the Witch is dead. John Cena lost.
It was
And
glorious.
What was glorious, again, it made me feel bad, but of course it's still glorious in hindsight. The fact that when they kicked, you know, when they, as if Heyman was in, you know, was there right in there with Lesnar. When Lesnar kicked Cena, right, and Cena was selling it in a way where it felt like he was, you know, just coughing a lot. And then the commentary says, "Oh no, I think John maybe his ribs are broken, maybe he can't breathe." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Whoa, what is this?" You know, it was a weird kind of, because apparently now whenever Lesnar's in a match, it has to be extremely real. You know, which I'm not saying is bad. It's just very interesting how the commentary now, you know what I mean, where it's like, you know, oh, yeah, it's, you know, it's Lesnar versus Cena. And Jerry says, should I crack a joke? And they all look at Jerry like, do you want to be fired?
By the way, because I went back last week and watched Lesnar Cena 1 at the Extreme Rules. And so Lesnar Cena 1 was interesting because you can tell Brock is limited because of the fact that he is, you know, with his stomach issues and the fact that he isn't the best technical wrestler. He is a fighter, you know?
Right.
So Brock is an interesting case where the match was basically a matter of Brock dominating, beating the crap out of Cena for a bit, and Cena overcoming. And this one was basically that match times 10. Because Cena did overcome twice-ish, but he didn't finish the job because he just couldn't overcome the, you know, and I think that was okay for me in terms of storytelling because this is a newer, I mean, it's weird to say this is a newer, more intense Brock, but this is a Brock coming off beating The Undertaker. So, you know, anything can happen.
Oh, yeah, and I enjoy, the thing is, too, is, you know, I'm now realizing that I'm okay with Cena rising and overcoming. The problem is that when he does it in a way that, if like, you know, a Cena of 2-3 years ago, after that, the match would have happened the exact way it happened, but it's, except that once that AA hit, that one AA hit, Cena would have gotten 3 count.
Correct. And I was a little bit afraid.
I slightly was too, even though I was spoiled, sadly. But I was still worried that someone was trying to say, like, oh, he, you know, because you could still, because the way the person worded it, sadly I was spoiled through Facebook, the way the person worded it through a status made it sound as if they, you know, Lesnar beat the crap out of Cena, but that doesn't mean that Lesnar won. Like, you can still say, like, oh, yeah, you know, because it was a whole, like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, because
he beat the crap
think,
out of Cena at the Extreme Rules thing, but Cena no-sold it. And it was interesting. Like, I knew the outcome of the match, too. But I tried to, like, you know, I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God, is this going to be a thing? Like, because I heard about some of the stuff that happened, and I was also deal with some trolling friends. And so I kind of went
German.
Almost. Yeah, 16 German suplexes was actually a thing. So all the stuff that I heard actually happened, which is really wicked. I mean, that was a massacre. And what made it better for me was that someone drugged up a child, and that child was screaming, let's go Cena the entire match, not realizing anything that was going on in life.
Because of the fact that, no, it made me happy because of the fact that, you know, it's like the kid had so much energy and so much passion, and you know, and what's, and the thing is that, I mean, what I will admit is it does suck for that kid, and only because, you know, Cena could have taken a beating and lost, but he didn't take a beating and lose. He was murdered in cold blood. You know, like, here's the thing. What happened there, what I have to say is, it reminded me of my late great-grandfather, right, you know, who would say things to my dad, right? He, and I swear to God, so true. Italian accent, a really old Italian man in his 80s would say, you know, he'd say, Frank, Frank. And my dad, he'd say, Frank. And my dad's like, whoa, whoa. He goes, you know, he's like, Hulk Hogan just ran over the Rock, Frank. Someone needs to call the police on that man. He just hit the Rock with a truck. And we're sitting there and we're just like, okay, Grandpa, you know? And that's basically that's how it felt. Where it's just, should Brock be charged with something for this?
You know, I mean, they made it seem like the ref had to stop the match. You know, and it's funny because the only reason that kind of bothered me is because they did that the first time around and it slowed down the match tremendously.
Ah,
in the first time.
Okay. Right. And the first time they did this. Okay.
Yeah.
So
this one,
I don't think
it was like rhythmically that bad.
No. Because immediately John Cena's like, because the thing is too is that they have the smarts to keep the camera on Lesnar a lot to have him really, you know, say like, oh yeah, you're serious? You know, like you're really gonna
Course the Undertaker parody was incredible. The sit up by Brock.
Yes. That was amazing. You know, there was a lot of amazing things with this match that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
So, yeah, good on them for that, I would say. So, thumbs up there.
I was so confused. Some people weren't satisfied, and I just, I don't know if they didn't know what they were asking for, or if they just actually started feeling bad for John Cena.
They either felt bad for Cena, or I would feel as if they didn't really, they felt as if, you know, it's just, because there's some people out there who just really don't like John Cena. To the point where they will say, oh, no, it wasn't enough. You know,
wasn't enough thing. I think part of it was a big, there were some claiming, and this is something we can discuss as we wind down here, that beating John so handily makes everyone else look really bad that John has beaten. Now, the argument against that, too, is that if, and touching on Raw a little bit last night, Heyman's promo felt more like he was building up John Cena. I don't know if you would disagree.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. Sorry, phone is
Touching on Raw from last night. I don't know if you would agree, but it felt like Heyman's promo was a bit more of talking up John Cena.
Yes, which is a good thing to do, but it's also,
it is.
I mean, there's a lot of good to it, and I don't think there's a lot of bad to it because, Brock destroyed, because it's showing also what Brock destroyed.
That's the thing. Where the fact that he destroyed him, some people were upset because they thought, oh, it makes everyone look really bad that Cena's beaten. But you salvage it a little.
Yeah.
By having Heyman cut that and talk about it, because basically what happens is, like, you know what? He did beat a force. He didn't just beat someone, like, for fun, like a jobber. He beat the John Cena. The same John Cena, who is still the same guy, even though he lost.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, that's the thing, that's what I really think I enjoy about this, about this matchup, is that it wasn't just, you know, they had to build it up that way. It's not that he just beat, you know, some guy. He beat up the man who is the Superman, and, you know, another thing that a lot of people say, oh, I want to beat up John Cena. Well, you did it. You know?
Yeah.
Although I do wonder where he goes from here. That's the thing, I think.
That's
where Brock goes
from
here.
I know that the rematch is set for Night of Champions.
Okay.
But I really don't know what's going to happen from there. Like, it was cool. We all sat there and said, yeah, SummerSlam, Cena has to lose. But now what?
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, he was able to win. That's the thing, I think. We have to really sit here. And no matter what, you sit there and think, he beat John Cena. He destroyed John Cena. Because the thing is, he didn't beat him. He didn't, like, he murdered John Cena. And I think the only issue is the fact that he wasn't bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John. I don't think I wanted him to bleed. I'm saying that, of course, you know, proper story. This is what it reminds me of. If anyone plays the WWE video games, you'll know that you can make the characters bleed in your game, unless they're women for some reason, but you can make the characters bleed in your game. But if you go online, they can't, which is really silly and unrealistic because it feels like, oh, no, but you can't bleed online because censors. But you can bleed in your game.
I think what pisses me
off
more is that women can't bleed, by the way. That will forever anger me in a wrestling video game. Because especially WWE 13 is an excellent wrestling game. You would agree, I assume. You know, excellent wrestling game. So it just pisses me off so much that they just still won't let women bleed.
Here's the thing. If you're not going to let women bleed, don't tell me that I can go all the way and put them in a hardcore match.
Which you can.
Because you can do that. Which you can. That's the issue. But anyway, I will say this much.
I
will say this much. I love when you use Brock. I will say this much. They have moved away from Raw panties matches, which is nice, but it's still that situation of you're taking steps, but they're very small steps. But anyway, sadly, I have to wrap up this show. Before we do, Brock won. Again, it means something. Brock Lesnar defeated John Cena. They're going to have a rematch. I assume Cena can't win again. Even if Cena knows what he's doing, I still think Cena's going to be beaten possibly within an inch, though, which will be nice. If it's, you know, if it's within an inch this time, because Cena goes, all right, I wasn't prepared, clearly. That Brock Lesnar is a beast kind of person.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't know what the excuse will be or what will happen, but I am going to be very curious.
I think it's pretty easy because he wasn't prepared. Because if you watch the match, you know, Cena, and of course Cena couldn't fight back, but it's because Cena was an idiot. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you look at someone like who people will say, oh, Daniel Bryan couldn't beat Brock Lesnar. Listen, Daniel Bryan's smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, Daniel, even though he might look like a heel while doing it, sadly, Daniel's smart. He will stand there, right? And if Lesnar's coming at him, he'll dodge. He'll blow, you know, he will get away and think of a strategy. Cena's just, well, I mean, I am Superman, and then runs at a guy. Like, John, you get up. You think about what you're doing. You don't just get up and go, let me try and... Nope, Lesnar punches you in the face. Try again, Cena. Well, I'm going to try and get punched in the face because he just punched you again in the face. Try again, Cena. You know, where Daniel Bryan, I think, really, that's all it was. Just, I'm going to, ow. Okay, I can't breathe in the rib place. You know, but with Daniel, I really do think that he would bring something different because he can also fight for real in real life. I mean, he took down a robber with a broken freaking neck.
Right.
At least not a very good neck.
I was going to kill you if you didn't make that joke.
He took down a robber who was trying to rob his house with a broken freaking neck, quote unquote. And I would argue that if he had if his neck was better, he could have taken down both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So I don't feel like there's any unbelievability with Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. And with Cena, hopefully they were trying to build that up because, hey, I don't know we've said this before. When they're really, really trying, they'll make and craft a really good match, but only at the main event level.
Correct.
So that's why you could see that this match will probably be this way, right, the way it was. And the next match, Cena should and hopefully will still lose. Because of you can see the WrestleMania plans for the future, Cena will still lose, but it will be a lot more of a level kind of match. And at least the kids will be happy because, you know, they're not going to go to sleep crying because John Cena was brutally destroyed on their television screen.
Thinking about it makes me need new pants.
Okay. That is an unhealthy obsession. I mean, at least it's not like a female kind of, you know, women's wrestling thing at least. That's nice. But, yeah, I mean, at least, you know, I mean, because that would be weird, I think, you know, where she's like, oh, my God, I love Paige so much. For her wrestling ability? Nah. It's like, oh.
Well, that's creepy.
You should probably stop watching. That's the thing. You should probably stop watching. But, yeah, I mean, hey, it happened. With you, with your love, with your John Cena dislike, hatred for the character. Hate-gasm. That's, you know, Patricia said that. We were going to tweet that out tonight, hate-gasm. With a picture of John Cena being decimated.
Hashtag #8gasm.
Yeah. That should trend it. All of you three who are listening, make sure that becomes a thing. Anyway, so before we go, Fisher already mentioned our Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. I, however, will mention our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or if you search up just Those Guys. The point is that our Facebook, what's on there? Well, you get to know about all of our shows. And, of course, you mentioned what shows we do, but you don't know what time and you don't know what day. And this week, we should be doing some great shows. I mean, Thursday, we should be doing Steven Universe. Friday, we should be doing Gravity Falls, Episode 3.
Tomorrow night, we'll be recapping Raw, which we did
Well, we won't, but I was getting back to it because, you know, we're talking about wrestling right now, so it's like, let's talk about all the other cool things that many people may not know we do.
Correct.
So guess what? Thursday, Steven Universe airs for the first time in about two to three months.
It has been
and
a while.
Gravity Falls has also been a while because Gravity Falls aired on Disney XD, but not the newest episode, which is Episode 3, has not aired on Disney Channel yet. But it
the
will
Gulf War.
Fact. Yes, the Gulf War.
With
Gulf.
Some really fun voice acting, by the way, from Patton Oswalt and John O'Hurley.
Yes, very fun is the point. So, yeah, so definitely, you know, again, like our Facebook, you'll see those. Also like our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, and you will be
well,
able
it would...
to see...
It would technically be following us on Twitter.
I know that
the Twitter is not really your your technological.
I'm a fan of the Twitter, but I'm a bigger fan of the Face Space personally, or the Instabooks. I'm a big fan of those, but I'm not so much of a fan of the Twitter.
Got it.
But you can follow us on Twitter, Those Guys Radio. And not only do we post our episodes, but we also post very funny cat pictures. Actually, we don't, but we post Dolph Ziggler pictures and many pictures of wrestlers and more. We do post some really funny stuff, I gotta be honest. But no, but
we
seriously
do.
Though. Yeah, but seriously, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, email us at Those Guys on the Radio. And also, tomorrow we will be doing a Monday Night Raw show. When? Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. I don't know if you should email us about it. I don't know how I feel about that. When are you doing Monday Night Raw?
You can DM us about it.
Yeah,
that's direct
you
message
can do that.
On Twitter, Matt.
Yeah, no, I think I know what that is. It sounded about right. I don't know what else to say. I would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. And would you like to play us out with some music? I mean, I don't know what
Let's
else to
do
say.
This.
Let's do this.
Para toda mi gente mexicana y todos mis latinos, es hora de cambio.
I hate everything. Why is this thing without a SummerSlam?
Van a cambiar las cosas.
Gringo, it's time. You're gonna be working for me, so you don't wanna get on my bad side, cause everybody loves Latino. You ain't never heard nothing like this. Take a look around, my man, now how built this. You tryna kill my spirit, I like Mr. Nesto. Grand Pistoletto, keep it rolling the west. Shake them up, beat them up, change the climate. I'm all bloody and sweaty, but no retirement. All I wanna hear from you is dead silence. If we go fam, no doubt, it gets violent. Batallando cada día, batallando día y noche, para cambiar lo que está pasando aquí.
Ya basta.